Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tapasaiva.
Tapasaiva.
Okay.
Okay. This is the wrong verse.
It's the wrong verse.
We did this verse yesterday.
Sorry.
No, he was instructed, not properly.
Ah, badly directed.
Never forgive. We have one book.
Okay. Tapasaiva.
Tapasaiva.
Param Jyoti.
Param Jyoti.
Bhagavantam.
Bhagavantam.
Adhokshajam.
Adhokshajam.
Sarvabhuta.
Sarvabhuta.
Guhavasam.
Guhavasam.
Anjana.
Anjana.
Sorry, Anjasa.
Anjasa.
Vindate.
Vindate.
Guman.
Guman.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Anjasa vindate puman.
Anjasa vindate puman.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Anjasa vindate puman.
Anjasa vindate puman. Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Sarvabhuta guhavanam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Anjasa vindate puman.
Anjasa vindate puman.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Tapasaiva param jyotir.
Bhagavantam.
Bhagavantam adhokshajam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Sarvabhuta guhavasam.
Anjasa
vindate puman.
Tapasa.
Tapasa.
By penance.
By penance.
Eva.
Eva.
Only.
Only.
Param,
Param,
the Supreme,
the Supreme.
Jyotihi,
Jyotihi,
Light,
Light.
Bhagavantam,
Bhagavantam,
unto the personality of Godhead,
unto the personality of Godhead.
Adhokshajam,
Adhokshajam,
he who is beyond the approach of the senses,
he who is beyond the approach of the senses.
Sarvabhuta guha,
Sarvabhuta guha,
Avasam,
Avasam.
Residing in the heart of all living entities.
Residing in the heart of all living entities.
Anjasa.
Anjasa.
Completely.
Completely.
Vindate.
Vindate.
Can know.
Can know.
Puman.
Puman.
A person.
A person.
By penance only can one even approach the personality of Godhead, who is within the heart of every living entity, and at the same time beyond the reach of all senses. Purport. Rudra was advised by Brahma to perform penance as an example to his sons and followers. It's tight today. I've been fixed. He was advised to perform penance as an example to his sons and followers that penance is necessary for attaining the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the common mass of people follow the path shown by an authority. Thus, Brahma, disgusted with the Rudra generations and afraid of being devoured by the increase of population, asked Rudra to stop producing such an unwanted generation and take the penance for attaining the favor of the Supreme Lord. We find, therefore, in pictures that Rudra is always sitting in meditation for the attainment of the favor of the Lord. Indirectly, the sons and followers of Rudra are advanced, are advised to stop the business of annihilation following the Rudra principle while the peaceful creation of Brahma is going on. Om Gyanatamirantasya Gyananjana Shurakala Chakshur Nilitam Vena Tasmai Shri Vinade Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vristam Sthapitam Yena Bhutane Shrayam Rupa Kata Mayam Tathati Shabhantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Munvaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagra Shatam Sahagavatam Sitam Sam Sajivam Saravetam Saradutam Prajata Sahitam Krishna Chaitam Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Shrasakana Lalita, Sri Vishakam Vitamshara. He Krishna Lakana Singho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Hovesha Hovika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kamsana Gorangi, Gahe Vinda Shabalu Sedevi Swarami Muribye Vanchavo Patru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tapasaiva Param Jyotir Bhagavantam Advokshajam Sarvabhuta Puhavasam Anjasa Vindate Tuma. The importance of tapasya is being stated
that one can't know the personality of Godhead without being austere. Now let's find that verse from yesterday.
Idam te nakataskaya na bhaktaya kanachana Nacha shushu shabe vachim nacha maam yo kisuyuti. Atapaskaya?
What
is Atapaskaya?
You know
what
number
is? Oh yeah,
1867.
No Bhagavati
verse. Yeah, good. Oh, I should have figured that out.
Atapaskaya.
Not austere.
Not austere.
Not austere.
So Krishna says, don't even speak this Bhagavad Gita to a person who is atapaska, a person who is not austere. Idam te natapaskaya nabhaktaya vivacham nachashu shushube vacham nachamam yo kisuyate.
It means to understand the science one has to be austere, and one has to be a devotee. And ashushushuve, don't speak this book to a person who's not submissive. A person who's not, submissive, interested. Idam natapaskaya. Yes. Idam te natapaskaya. One has to be austere to understand. Elsewhere, yesham tvantakatam papam vimanam pundakantam te tvam vimo vimokya tvante imam vichayakatam. Austere means that one has to give up sinful activities. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex. Krishna consciousness movement is not very austere. We're not whipping ourselves. But our first austerity is one has to give up these pursuits of sinful life. Hovai Sharya Prasadhana, Ayatu Prasadhana, Vyasayatika, Vithir, as long as one is engrossed in sense gratification, how can one understand spiritual science? So austerity is described in Bhagavad Gita, austerity of the mind, austerity of speech, and austerity of the body. There's of course austerity in ignorance and passion, those aren't required. But austerity in goodness will help us be. That was brought up yesterday, that there were demons who were performing austerities, Hiranyakashipu, out austere Hiranyakashipu. But the austerity was in the mode of ignorance. It was aimed at getting something impossible. He was in dreamland, out of it forever. Illusion. So that's the mode of ignorance. Austerity performed in the mode of ignorance will not be helpful. Austerity should be performed in the mode of goodness. So, tapasaiva param jyoti bhagavantam. By austerity, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, elsewhere we'll read that without devotional service, one can't understand Krishna. Is that in the 11th chapter?
Na hum de dharana tapasa na dhanena na chedraya shakyameva vitam prashtam vishvansi man vita.
You can't see me simply by Vedic study or austerity or charity or pious activities. Bhaktya tanamaya shaktya vedam gyatam vishpam tatvema relational shaktya. Ultimately, devotional service is required. But in devotional service, the austerity is a natural component. Vairagya vidya nijapaktiya shikshartamika purusha. The Personality of Godhead teaches devotional service in which austerity is naturally figures in.
if one is a patriot, he's automatically law-abiding. He doesn't have to be separately told to follow the laws of the government. He's giving his life for the country. So that's included. Knowledge and austerity are automatically included in devotional service. They automatically follow from devotional service. So there's no need to separately cultivate knowledge or separately cultivate austerity. But austerity will be favorable for devotional service when it's performed properly. Yes, when it's performed in the mode of goodness, when it's performed properly. So here the Rudra is advised, Rudra is advised that tapasya will be a good move for you. Rather than creating wild men who try to destroy the universe while the peaceful creation is going on, better that you do some austerity. From that point of view, we can recommend austerity to people just to keep them out of trouble. Even we see that someone takes up sports, swimming or something like that, and he has to undergo some discipline. Well, just the discipline is good for him. Now he has to give up smoking and drinking and driving and all of that because he has some program. Of course, that's ultimately useless. But at least it keeps him off the streets. So here, austerity is recommended. The first thing is, if you're doing tapasya, then you can't cause trouble. But then the next thing is that the austerity will be illuminating. Austerity will allow them to approach the personality of God, which is the real purpose of life. There's a nice compositional cross here. Sarvabhuta Kubhavasam and Bhagavantam Moksha. He's residing within the heart of every living being. Within Guha means the secret part within the heart. Avasam, he has his residence within the heart of everyone. Sarvabhuta Kubhavasam. Jayati Janani Vaso. End of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami glorifies Krishna as Janani Vas. Janani Vas means the same thing. One who has his residence within every living being. Or alternatively, the one who within whom every living being resides. He's both. All living beings are residing within the energy of the personality of Godhead, and the personality of Godhead is residing within the heart of every living being. So he's Jagadivas, Sarvabhuta, Bhuvavasa. Or, but at the same time, Anokshita. He's beyond the power of the senses to see or to know. There's some example given that the other senses can't see the eyes. We have 10 senses, but the other senses, like the ears or the arms and legs, they can't see the eyes. Even though they're also senses, they can't see. So similarly, the living being, by his senses, he can't see the personality of Godhead, although his personality of Godhead is within his heart. Sarvabhuta, especially by mental speculation or sense gratification or sensory inception, Shri Krishna Nama Vidha Pade Grahya Seva Nupahi Imano Svayameva Svayameva. One has to take to the method of devotional service so that the Lord will be pleased to reveal himself. Otherwise, by our own efforts, we'll not be able to see him. Because Atta Akshata, he's beyond the products of the eyes, or what the eyes can see. Anokshata, Bhagavata Anokshata. Beyond the reach of the senses, although he's within the heart of the real. But one has to become a devotee, then one can ask Krishna. To see what kind of Krishna's doing.
Oh, it's just interesting how he's now advising the Rudras to perform austerities. Mm. And this, for Kumaras, that's all they wanted to do.
Yeah, right. Do some austerity.
So, yeah, exactly. Not too much.
If you don't do any austerity, you'll smash things up. And if you do too much austerity, you lose interest in the material world. But for Brahma's purposes, some austerity. Something else? Yes. Could you please speak louder?
Can you please explain the difference between the terms of tapasya and vairagya?
Tapasya and vairagya. Well, they're etymologically different. Raga means attachment. So vairagya means detachment, freedom from attachment. Renunciation, detachment. And tapasya, I explained yesterday, comes from
heat.
So, put the heat on someone, it means he's under some pressure, under some force. So, when voluntarily one places oneself under pressure, under force, some physical inconvenience or mental inconvenience for the sake of spiritual advancement, that's tapasya. So vairagya, detachment, can also be a kind of tapasya. We don't like detaching ourselves from family life. We don't like giving up material attachments. So in that sense, it's also tapasya. It's prescribed tapasya. Those who are in household or life at a mature age are expected to free themselves from family attachment. That's anti-comfortable. Family life is, in one sense, comfortable. You have your place, you have your home, your comforts. So to suddenly, although there's so many miseries in family life also, but there's a certain comfort, and because one is attached to certain comforts, one tolerates all those miseries by Maya's arrangement. One gets a little bit of comfort in family life, and for that one tolerates so much trouble, and one misses out on so much opportunity for spiritual advancement. So one is advised, at 50 years of age, one should detach oneself from family. So that's uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. I'm happy here. This is favorable for my duties, or this is
can't leave, or anyway. He's stuck. He doesn't want to go. It's too much trouble. If nothing else, it's too much trouble. Where will I go? How will I support myself? What will I get food? What will I do? It seems like there's so much trouble involved that it's just easier to stay in the same place. Even if some place is dangerous, sometimes people want to stay in the same place just because it's the same place. I find this during times of government oppression, when a government is cracking down, oppressing the citizens. The citizens still don't want to leave because it's what they're accustomed to. Even though their lives are at risk, their property is at risk, everything is at risk, but the thought of leaving behind what they have and going someplace else seems like too much. So instead they hope that things will get better, and then they get exterminated or they get sent to prison camps or what have you. That's happened in many different countries. America even did that with the Japanese during World War II. So one doesn't want to leave. It's simple, all you have to do is pick up and go, but nobody wants to do it. So family life is like that. However dangerous or however much suffering one is exposed to, because we're accustomed to it, we don't want to give up. But therefore one is told that no, it's tapasya, you have to do it. And actually that tapasya becomes a source of happiness. It's not so much trouble after all. And it was more trouble when leaving is more trouble than what I'm accepting. Tapasya, that's the basic principle of tapasya. That it's trouble, but material life is more trouble. To drag on material existence is more troublesome than accepting some trouble for spiritual advancement. We're going to have to take trouble anyway. We'll have to accept trouble anyway. So rather than take the heavier trouble imposed upon us, better to voluntarily take up a little trouble and get free from the greater trouble. So that's tapasya. And vairagya. So vairagya can also be a form of tapasya, to give up. The two are related, vairagya and tapasya.
How do I know that I'm austere enough?
How do you know that you're austere enough? Well, you can always be more austere.
Kind of austerity, again, it kind of also go austerity for the sake of austerity. Then.
Austere enough, maybe in some department. There's always room for greater austerity of the mind. There's always room for more austerity. It's a question of what kind of austerity. Sometimes someone thinks, just simple example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when someone was doing austerity for Ekadashi, but a preacher was needed, then he sent that person, forget your Ekadashi, but to go out and preach. That's an austerity also, but that's a more important austerity. To distribute books is an austerity, and to stay in the temple and chant 64 rounds and fast is also an austerity. Srila Prabhupada placed more emphasis on distribution of literature, preaching Krishna consciousness, than on acceptance of vows. Today I'll only eat 3 chickpeas. That's less important. To distribute books is an austerity. You have to approach people, and you have to ask them for contributions, and you have to put up with so many people who say no, no time, not interested, get out of here. So that's an austerity, to have everybody say no to you. Sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too cold, sometimes the books are too heavy. There's so many austerities involved, but that austerity is very good.
austerity is very good. But the austerity simply, and other austerities may also be very good, to eat less, sometimes to fast, sometimes to chant, or around, sometimes to observe some vow. But if it simply becomes vows and vratas and austerities, and there's not advancement in developing our love for Krishna, then shrameva hi kevalam is a waste of time. And if there's not some spirit for helping other living entities or for carrying out the order of the bona fide spiritual master, then how important is our austerity? What's the use? Our point is not simply to perform tapasya, it's ultimately devotional service. Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya. Something else?
I was listening to a class the other day by Srila Prabhupada, and he's saying that sannyas is compulsory.
Sannyas is compulsory.
And we also hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talk that there's no need to take sannyas and we can remain at home. So I'm just wondering how we judge, or is it up to the individual to
decide? No need for sannyas, but sannyas is required. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm not even talking about sannyas. In the present circumstance, what is the need of talking about sannyas? But vanaprastha ashram is required. Sannyas we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. One may or may not accept sannyas. But the first thing is that the vanaprastha ashram is compulsory. I don't think there's any Vedic injunction that in Kali Yuga there's no vanaprastha ashram. Is there any? We haven't heard. There's no injunction that in Kali Yuga no vanaprastha ashram. No sannyas, that may be there, but no vanaprastha, that's not there. So, so we have so many, our demographics have changed. We have so many devotees who are older, they're married, and they've been married for 25 years, and they're 50 years old. For them, vanaprastha ashram is compulsory. One shouldn't stay stuck in household or life. One should accept at least the vanaprastha ashram. Apart from that, we've heard from Srila Prabhupada that sannyas means no mayavad sannyas. Otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas. He approved when Vishwambhara, his older brother, accepted sannyas. But even taking the Milamite sannyas is risky or difficult in Kali Yuga. All right, then vanaprastha ashram. And then we'll see what happens later. But at least vanaprastha ashram we should accept. Most of our older grihasthas now they're ready for the vanaprastha ashram, at least ready in terms of time schedule. So they can accept these. It's premature for them to accept sannyas. Let them become vanaprasthas, and they can see where they want to go from there. Yes?
Maharaj, what does vanaprastha, what does it entail?
What does vanaprastha ashram entail? Number one, give up sex. That's the first thing. In vanaprastha life, in grihastha life, there's some allowance for regulated sex life. Dharma viruta bhuteshu kamosmi pravatashi. Vanaprastha ashram means give up sex. No sex. Sexual intercourse finished. No sex. That's the first item.
That's the first blow.
Hmm?
That's the first blow.
Yeah, that's the first blow. That's the first benefit.
Yeah.
What are you going to try to keep that thing going? You know, now that you're 50, you still want to get some happiness out of sexual intercourse from a dying animal in his body. So it's a blessing. We read there were some statistics that were published. The percentage of older people who are having sex, and it was appallingly large into their 70s and 80s, still, despite so much difficulty. And
instead of Vairagya, it's Viagra.
Viagra.
Makes it possible.
Yeah, makes it somewhat possible. The Florida Alligator, which is the student newspaper at the University of Florida, noted the item and said something to the effect of, you know, grandma and grandpa still having sex. Nasty. And they're not, of course, they've taken a lot of prasadam there, but they're not devotees, but just as ordinary students, they considered it nasty. So that's the first thing. The old folks should give up sex. It's not required. They're not intended to have more children. If they are intended to have more children, they're very foolish to be having children in your old age and be obliged to support them and take care of them and put up with them.
Irresponsible?
Hmm?
It's even irresponsible because you can't be, because you're so old, you can't really
you can't
care of them properly.
So it's stupid to expect to have children, to try to have children. And then to have sex and try to avoid children, that's, first of all, it doesn't always work. Sometimes the children are there in spite of it. We know many older people who, you know, had children when they weren't expecting to. And in any case, sex is not meant for recreation. If you're not planning to have children, then you shouldn't have sex, even as a grahasta. Grahasta life is not a license for unrestricted sex life, only for sex, for having children. So if you're not planning to have children, which at the age of 50 you shouldn't be, then you should give up sex, period. Apart from not wanting to have children and so on, we want to get out of the material world. And as long as we're still attached to the happiness of sex, we're not going to get out, we're going to stay here. So the purpose of human life is to get out of the material world, and therefore giving up sex is required. All right, in youth we may not, but at least in old age, we should give up sex. That's the first thing. There are other guidelines for vanaprasthas. Basically, the basic principle is to wind down one's material life. Just as when you get married, you sort of wind up your material life. You're going to get a job, you're going to get a career, you're going to build a house, you're going to make a family, you're going to do all of that, so you're kind of on the up, winding up, or revving up your spiritual, your material life. So vanaprastha ashram means winding it down, shutting down material life, so that you can get out, just like a house, you shut your house and you go somewhere, you go out. So you want to shut down material life and go back to God. That's the basic idea. That's the basic idea.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah.
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 Yeah.